Hi, and welcome to the Phys Ed Podcast. I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphysed.com.
And this is episode 5. So Nathan, how's it going?
Good, Joey. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's been a while since we've done this.
It has been. It's been about a month, and I tell you what, it's been probably the busiest month of the year for me. So it's nice to chat with you again.
Yeah, same here, man. I feel like it's like the last big rush right before the school year ends. So, well, at least here it is. So it's always a little bit crazy time of the year.
Yeah, exactly. It is for us. Like, we've got, I think, 3 weeks left. So we've got reports due this week. We've also got our swim gala, and then a heap of other stuff with school finishing. So the last few weeks have been crazy, and the next few weeks are going to be even crazier. But the summer breaks on the horizon. It's getting closer every day. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here. So like I said, it's been a while. So what have you been doing in your classes these days?
I think last time we spoke, we'd either just started swimming or we were about to start swimming. So all the classes we've been going off to a pool. Pretty sure I talked about it last time because I remember we talked about how cheap it was and good access to the community for the swimming pool being 50 cents for the kids. But we've just been pretty much all day, every day, at school, three times a day, to and fro on the bus to the pool, sort of working with the kids to improve their swimming technique and get them ready for this swim carnival that's coming up on Friday. So it's been good. Been out in the sun, got a good tan. it's been fun. It's starting to wear a little bit the last couple of weeks. Sort of it's probably just a little bit too much. 6 weeks, like I think 4 weeks might have been a better time, but it's all good. What about you?
First of all, yeah, I'm totally feeling the tan. I'm finally getting outside. Like, winter's finally, like, here in Montreal, we don't really get a spring. It kind of goes from winter to summer right away. And yeah. So I've been going outside, and I burnt up that first week I was outside. But no, things have been good here. From the last time I did a handball unit, and that was great. It led up to our, like, so we have an interscholastics league here. And it was our handball tournament. So it was the first time really that my unit and like the tournament, the monthly tournament kind of lined up.
Yep.
And it was just such a great experience. These tournaments are a lot of fun. And I'm really liking this year, like the group of schools that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
We went in and the teachers on the air teams are just great. And there's such great like learning opportunities that are happening there. So like we had like one team that was kind of I don't want to call them poor sports, but they're kind of being poor sports about what was going on during the tournament.
Yeah.
I guess they thought they were going to go in and crush everyone. That didn't really happen. But, you know, like, the teacher this year, compared to, like, previous years, the teacher this year really took an opportunity there to try and teach the kids about it. And it was so cool getting to see her, like, do such a great job at managing the situation with her kids. It just made me really proud to, like be a phys ed teacher because I'm seeing her, like, take what could have been a very, very negative experience and turn it into something positive.
Yeah, so, definitely.
That was really fun to see. Nice. And my boys and my girls just played great. And I was so happy. Like, my girls showed up. There was players on the air team that were, like, a solid, like, 2 feet taller than some of my girls. And they were just – their positioning was perfect. They were doing so good. It was so fun getting to see what they learned in class and apply it, like, into that kind of setting. So, anyways, it was just a really good time.
Yeah, definitely. What age level was that?
So, this is my cycle 3 students. So, it's grades 5 and 6.
Okay.
And I know, so that was fun. And now, right now, I'm working on a bunch of different things. I've got a striking and fielding unit going on with my grade 5s. And I actually want to talk about because I'm using Google Drive a lot throughout this unit.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really cool. Like, I'm just getting such good, like info back from the kids. Like, I'm collecting all kinds of data. And I'm getting all kinds of information for assessment purposes. And it's just making my life a lot easier. And I find really it's like enhancing like my teaching too, because I'm actually getting to use that information and then adapt my lesson plans based on what I'm picking up from the kids, actually getting to see what they're retaining from what I'm teaching them, and then kind of make sure that, okay, I have to make sure I cover this a little bit more in the next lesson. And they all seem to have grasped this, so I can move on at this point.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I remember doing when I did the physedagogy with Adam a few weeks back. I think his quote was something that Google Forms is the the gateway drug to Google Apps for Education, and I can only agree, it's addictive. Once you start using it and finding how you can use it and then different ways that you can use it, it's addictive. Like, it's really, it's so super easy to use. It really gives you great information, and it's really great to see so many people out there in the phys ed community at the moment using it, and not just using it for the same things, but like coming up with new and different things and different ways to use it in whatever their program is or whatever their needs are. So it's just really versatile. It's great.
Yeah, no, I'm just loving like just one of the things I love the most. So I'm really lucky, right? I got access to, right now we have, I think, 15 iPads in the school.
Yeah.
Pretty much I can get access to most of them at any given time. So what I've been doing a lot is like, okay, like I want to activate like prior knowledge, and I'm just asking kids. So when we work on striking, let's say in baseball, we're like, hey, so what can you tell me? Like, if you were to teach, this is what I tell the kids. If you were teaching grade ones right now, what cues would you give them to help them learn how to strike a ball in baseball? And this is before I've given the kids any instruction, anything. And I was like, I'm going to set you up in teams of two. You're going to go off the iPad. You're going to fill it. You come scan this QR code. It brings you to a form, and you fill out the form. And it's just really interesting because, like, obviously some groups finish faster than others, but I'm getting it all in real time, yeah. And I'm getting to see right away what the kids already kind of know. So when I go in and I start introducing my cues, I'm able to adapt that based on what I know the kids already know, and I'm able to put more emphasis on things that, okay, the kids aren't aware, like, you know, like when I say, like, squash the bug, like, put your weight on the back foot and everything, it's just really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. It's just such an interesting way of activating that prior knowledge, or basically just that formative first assessment of finding out what the kids actually know. Because I feel like previously, the way that most people would do that would be in a class discussion. And you end up getting the same kids answering the questions all the time.
Exactly.
And so you know that those kids know, but what about the other kids who are not as confident to put their hand up and tell what they know? So this is a perfect way to make sure that, you know, like, you're going to get those kids that know, and you're going to get those kids that don't know, and you have more data and more information about every single kid in your class, not just those ones who want to put their hand up and tell you what they know.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really cool too, what I'm really liking is not only like the answers I'm collecting back from them, but actually circulating around in the class and hearing the discussions they're having amongst each other, and seeing the kids that usually are like super quiet in class actually talking about these concepts that are being introduced in class and actually having a discussion on it. So it's really cool on that aspect too.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, I've included it, like I said, I blogged about it a little bit, but with my behavior management system in my class.
Yeah.
So now, like, when the kids, if ever they're sent to the bench, they have to scan this QR code and they have to fill out a form. And it's basically just a quick reflection form on our rules in class. What rules weren't they respecting? What behaviors were they doing that didn't respect those rules? How does that affect their learning? How does that affect the learning of other kids in class? And what's great is, like I said, like, they send it in, I get to see it right away, and I get that timestamp on it. So if ever I have to talk to the parents about, like, behaviors that have been happening in class, I can say, like, you know, like, on this date there was this incident, on this date there was this incident. So it's just been really useful.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. I was thinking about it. I know we spoke about this last week or the week before. With that data and that timestamp, like, it'd be really interesting over the course of a year or something to see, you know, is this child getting, like, when what time during the lesson are they getting into trouble? Like, is there a pattern in their behavior? Is it like after 10 minutes of the lesson they're starting to get in trouble? So the more data you collect, the sort of the more analysis you're going to be able to do on stuff like that, and work out that, okay, this kid is having difficulties at this stage of a lesson. It might be when they first arrive, it might be towards the end when they're getting tired. And then you can sort of like adapt your teaching and adapt and differentiate for those kids. So I think there's so much information and so much data you can collect in that way and use in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny you're saying that, because right before I came on there to record this podcast, I was talking to my brother. So I actually want to give a shout out to my brother right now. My brother's at James Fight. He doesn't tweet whatsoever. So there's no point following him. At least not now. But I have to say, I'm so proud. Like, he teaches science at a private school here in Montreal.
Yeah.
And the things he's doing in his class are just amazing. Anyways, we were talking about a little bit because I wanted to talk about my Up band. So I have a Jawbone Up and this whole quantified self movement. And I've talked about this in the past too, this idea of like quantified self for teachers, where you're collecting data on your students, you're collecting data on your teaching, you're collecting data on how you're preparing for your classes, like all that, and then you can kind of analyze all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just find it really interesting, like the more data you have like that, so like exactly like you're saying, like if you're able to identify when the kids are presenting the most like behavior issues in class and get to use that and adapt your teaching to it, like that's such a powerful tool, right?
Yeah. Because it might be something like you're finding that the kids are having those issues after the first 5 minutes or after the first 10 minutes of the lesson, and then you go back and reflect on how those lessons ran, and maybe you were, you know, standing talking to them for the first 5 minutes, so they lost their focus, and then as soon as you gave them the openness to go and actually do something, they haven't been able to handle it because they've lost their focus and they can't concentrate. So then you can go back and say, well, okay, maybe me actually trying to sit them down and explain the rules of whatever the game we're playing isn't the best way to start the lesson.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you adapt the way that you teach to try and meet the needs of the students.
Yeah, exactly. And even like you said, like I used to have a student all the time try and time my instruction time during class because I want to see how much instruction, like often I, as you can tell from these podcasts, I can kind of go off on rants at times. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the kids were getting enough activity time, but that there was enough instruction time to make sure that their activity time was purposeful.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I really want to focus on a lot too. But even like I said, so I have this Jawbone Up, and for those of you who are listening to this, if you don't know what a Jawbone Up is, it's basically a bracelet that you wear on your wrist, and it tracks your activity throughout the day. You wear it when you sleep, and when you're sleeping, you turn on to like sleep mode, and it tracks your sleep cycles. You plug it into your iPhone through the headphone jack, it pulls all the information out, and then you can actually track your all this information you're collecting on yourself over time. But I'm also interested, you know, in seeing how that's affecting my teaching. So even if I was just doing something simple, like, you know, yes, this lesson went well, or no, this lesson didn't go well, mm-hmm. and then compare that, let's say, to the amount of sleep I got the night before, the amount of deep sleep I got the night before, it'd be really interesting to see how that all comes into play as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think, yeah, like it's just data in general, whether you're collecting it that way through Google Forms, through whichever way you do it. I think like that's the thing that is going to help you to improve. I think like it's easy to sometimes just reflect in your mind about what's happening, but if you have solid data about whatever it is you're doing, then that it makes it a lot easier to reflect and improve.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of that, like I know we've gone a little bit off, but like back to forms and stuff, and collecting data is something that I've been doing with this swimming carnival that we have coming up. So when we first started the swimming unit, I thought, okay, well, we need to have this swimming carnival at the end where the students, I think it's up and from K1 to grade 1, they're doing fun rotation activities in the small pool. But from grade 2 to grade 5, they'll be doing competitive 50-meter races. So I was thinking, like, what's a way that I can make sure that all the kids, one, are being active and competing in an event, and what's the best way to make sure that those kids who are competing in those events are competing against kids who are around the same standard or speed as them? Because like the last thing you want to do, especially with swimming, it's a little different than an athletics sort of thing. But swimming, like there can be a real big range between your kid who's your fastest swimmer and your kid who's your slowest swimmer in a class. So I think like, for example, in grade 4, there's one girl who does the 50 free in like 39 seconds or something like that. But then there's other kids who do it in 2 minutes. So I wanted a way to make sure that even though I'm having a grade 3 race or for that age group, that there's different divisions for the kids based on their speed. So I turned to Google Forms, And I set up a really simple form for every class, basically. And when we're at the pool, use them to record the time. So it would all go back into a central spreadsheet, and then I could use that information to organize the races, I guess. So I just had like class, which stroke it was, and the distance, and then I had drop down menu for the student's name and a space for their time. So when it was on that Google spreadsheet, it was class, stroke, name, time. And once I had all those for every kid in the class, it was really just a case of doing a sort and taking, you know, like the top eight kids will be in the race. The next eight kids will be in the next race. So that by the time you get down to the bottom of the class, you know, you've got, you know, the eight kids who are between 1 minute 30 and 1 minute 45 for the 50 meter freestyle. So you know that every single race on that day is going to be, everyone should be finishing within three or four seconds of each other. And hopefully it's going to enable kids who don't normally get to succeed at winning a race to succeed and actually to win or to become successful at a race. So it's been a lot easier for me to do that than in the past, where I would have had a stopwatch and a piece of paper and then done it that way, written it down, taken it back to school, typed it in. Like it's cut down my work time on that as well. So it's been really powerful in that way.
That's awesome. And what's great too is, like, you know, often when we talk about this, like I forget who I was talking to about this the other day, but when we're talking about like, oh yeah, like technology is great because it gets us to like cut down on like work on this and work on that. The thing is, it's letting us cut down and work on that, but then because we have that extra time, we're actually able to focus on what we should be doing, which is giving feedback and like teaching and actually like helping kids improve. So that's why like I'm just, it's funny because I was listening to a podcast that I recorded with Paul Rombo here in Quebec. He's in charge of the phys ed section on the Learn Quebec site.
Yeah,
he's a great guy, and we recorded this podcast back in August, and he was asking me like my philosophy on like integrating technology in the gym, and it's just changed so much since August. Like I was re-listening to the podcast, I was like, wow, like it sounds like a completely different person because it's changed so much.
Yeah.
And even the way that I see technology, like the way that I see how technology can be useful for teachers and what it allows us to do, is just amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I think like I totally agree with you, because like the few workshops I've run in the last month, there's a lot of people who are just beginning their journey with integrating technology. And speaking to them, it made me sort of like reflect back to where I started. And like, yeah, it's similar to you. Like what I thought was the best thing a year ago or 2 years ago is completely changed. Yeah. And it's such a learning journey. Like, and every day, every week, you know, you're learning new things and you're reevaluating what you think is beneficial. And, like, I guess if you'd have asked, you know, a year ago, how could you use an online form to like make your teaching better, I probably would have looked at you with a blank look on my face and thought, like, what are you talking about? So it's no, it's good. And something else, like another little tip. So the way I was doing this, like obviously I was at a public pool. There was no Wi-Fi, and the iPad isn't a 3G one. It's just the Wi-Fi one. So. And this could be something that people could use. I know a lot of people that I speak to say, well, I don't have Wi-Fi in my gym, or I don't have, you know, Wi-Fi on the field and stuff. So all I did was I ran a hotspot off my iPhone to the iPad. So basically the iPad was drawing the 3G from the iPhone. It's really as simple as just going into your settings. It says personal hotspot and turning that on. It was great. It worked so well. And even the kids were like, how are you on the internet right now? And I said to them, like, look, here, I'm running it from my phone to the iPad. So that could be something that people can use if you're in a school that doesn't have Wi-Fi in your gym, or doesn't have Wi-Fi out on the field, or if you're out somewhere at a tournament or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you could hotspot from your phone. Another option, I created actually two YouTube videos for this, is before I had Wi-Fi in my gym, my office was right beside my gym. And it had an Ethernet cable, so with my Mac, but I also found how you could do this with a PC.
Yeah.
With my Mac, I just plugged the Ethernet cable into my Mac, I turned internet sharing on, and I created a wireless network from my MacBook. Yeah. And then I could connect to the internet through my MacBook with my iPad. So my iPad, I would connect it to the wireless network that I created on the MacBook, and that was sharing the internet.
Yeah.
So just like some little tricks and everything that you can do, because I know a lot of us don't have Wi-Fi in our gyms yet.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll all be there. It's like I always tell people, like when I created the QR code posters on the site, I was like, hey, imagine like your kids are gonna have like mobile devices in the gym, they're gonna have their cell phones. I remember when I published those posters, people would flat out laugh at me. They're like, mm-hmm. as if you're ever gonna have like mobile devices, as if kids are gonna be allowed to use their cell phones in the gym. And this is like 3 years ago. So the times are changing.
Yeah.
Those of you who are still struggling with your getting mobile devices and getting Wi-Fi, don't worry, it's on the way.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Yeah, what else do you want to talk about today?
Well, actually, I want to give a shout out to someone really special, someone that I respect a lot. Looking back at like all the people we've mentioned on the podcast and everything, I was actually surprised I haven't mentioned her before. So I'd like to give a huge shout out to Kellyanne Parry.
Yeah, definitely. I'll second that. Definitely. So, she's awesome.
Kelly's just a great person. She's doing all kinds of amazing things with Teaching Games for Understanding. I made a video like showing like a TGFU kind of lesson, like giving an example of what it kind of looks like in the lesson.
Yeah.
And the only reason I was able to put that video together is because Kelly was on a study tour across Canada to learn more about TGFU. And she came to she flew out to Montreal solely to like meet up with me and we could talk about this. And she just provides so much insight. Like, she's just so smart when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. And on top of that, she's a riot. Like, she's just a really fun person. She's been a huge help with me, like, so many projects on the site. And also, she moderates the Australian PE chat slot, which I know she has trouble getting people to participate in. So if you're living in that area, I highly suggest you jump in, because Kelly's got a lot of stuff she wants to talk about. She just needs more people to talk about it with.
Definitely.
So she's got that going. She's doing great stuff too. She's got TGFU chat going. So if you're not following Kelly, please check her out, because honestly, she's just a great person. She's a super smart person. She's an amazing teacher, and you'll benefit so much from getting that follow. So that's my shout out for this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I think you've really just hit the nail on the head with that. Like, she's just one of the nicest people I think that you'll ever meet. And just doing great things. And it is like you said about that Australian PE chat time zone. Like, it's really strange, because there's so many, I feel like there's so many people out there on Twitter, Australian PE teachers. And every day I'm seeing more and more people, get online from Australia and, you know, connecting with me and connecting with you and other people. And it's strange. I don't know why sort of that section hasn't taken off. Like, I feel like the Asian time zone here in Singapore is like the similar thing. Like, the first few weeks, it was maybe me and Andy Vasili and like one other person. But the last few weeks, it's been awesome. Like, there's been people from Korea, from China, from Japan, from Vietnam. Like, there's a real huge community of people using PE chat here in Asia. And I feel like Kelly's always sending me a message saying like, I didn't get so many people tonight. Hopefully you get some more, in your time zone. So I urge any people in Australia, or even if you're in Asia, cause I know that starts like, we're only, I think about 2 hours difference.
Yeah. It's 2 hours.
Most of the people here in Asia at the moment. So like, you know, that's about 4 o'clock, 4:35, Asian time. Like, jump on with Kelly then when you finish school and continue through until I'm on there at 7. So, because I feel like even for me, like, I start at 7, and the last few weeks, like, we've been getting to 8 o'clock and it's felt like about 5 minutes, and then people continue that conversation for another hour or 2 hours through the night. So it's a perfect place to start with Kelly a little bit earlier and then keep going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I love it, because whenever you host your section, usually I'm on the bus on my way to work, so I get to start my day off reading all those tweets.
Yeah, and it's exactly the same for me. Like, when I then wake up the next morning, you're doing your session. So I feel like pretty much for 48 hours or 24 hours straight, I can keep track of what's happening.
And honestly, like, you know, like I was talking before about, I was amazed at how much I find that I've I've developed and how much I've learned since August, I credit that fully to the online phys ed community and these PE chats and just the amazing people I've been able to connect with. I wish I could shout out like to everybody that I've connected with on Twitter, but I think that'd be a little too many people to mention in a 45-minute show. So, but honestly, like it's so much fun and it's just great. So I'm really happy to be a part of this.
I know that we go on about it a lot and stuff, and I know that we're preaching to the converted, because I'm guessing that a majority of the people who listen to this listen to it because they've connected with us on Twitter and they see it on Twitter. But I continue to advocate teachers to sign up and get on there. Like, it's the more people that are on there, the better, the more sharing we can do. And it's interesting. Like, I've had conversations with people over the last few weeks about like, how can we start sharing this stuff with people who are not on Twitter yet or don't want to be on Twitter yet. And it's, I don't know, it's a real interesting area, I guess, of, you know, there's still people who don't feel comfortable with it and don't really know. And even when given guidance, it's still find it difficult. So it's an interesting way of like, how can we bring these other fantastic physical educators into our community?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're listening to this and you're not on Twitter, I really suggest you check out Mr. Robbo, Jared Robinson's 14-day Twitter challenge for phys ed teachers. I think Jared did a great job of putting that together, and I think it's such an easy guide to follow to get you right in there. So if you're kind of curious on how to get started, you're a little nervous on getting started, check it out, the 14-day Twitter challenge. It's really cool how you put it together. It's easy, and within 2 weeks you'll be up and you'll be chatting. So
yeah, I think it's something that I said to a workshop I ran a couple of weeks ago was, you know, the example of Blue Jay Bridge, where he signed up. And I think he said, like, for the first 6 months, he didn't tweet anything. He just used it as a way of watching what was happening. And so it's just a matter of, you know, searching that PE Geeks or Phys Ed hashtag or PE chat or whatever. And, like, you don't feel like you have to share until you're ready. Like, it's a great way just to watch and to see what other people are sharing, and then you'll start seeing stuff you like, you'll start clicking on links that are going to help you, and then eventually, you know, you'll feel comfortable enough as well to start sharing. And I guess someone else that I'll give a shout out to is Mr. Campen, PE, who's in West Australia, I think, and him similar. Like, I remember when he first signed up, you know, he was starting to put feelers out there and stuff, and he was great because he would always, no matter what I posted, he would always comment on iPhysEd or something that I'd post on Twitter. And now he's started his own blog. Like, he's decided that he's found his area of interest, and he's doing some great stuff with using Evernote to create portfolios.
Yeah, it's portfolios, right?
Yeah, it's portfolios. So, like, he's come full circle. He's come from somebody who was new and started, spent some time watching, started sharing, tried to find his place in the community, and found his place and found something that he felt that he could contribute to what people were doing. Like, he wasn't trying to reinvent stuff that other people were doing. He came out with something that, you know, this is how I'm doing it. I hope it can be helpful for you, and he's putting it out there, and he's doing some great stuff.
You know, it's so daunting at first when you first start sharing online, because you often feel like you're writing a blog post and you put so much effort into it, you're so excited about it, and you put it out there and just crickets, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually people are going to stumble upon your stuff, and I love it. Like, I love it when I find a new teacher blog, and I'm like, wow, there's like 30 posts in here that I can read. So, like, you just start reading down. So just get in there. Like, I just wish more people would be up there and be willing to start sharing, and everybody's value, like, everybody's opinions important, and everybody brings value to every conversation we have. I've had so many teachers message me after PE chats and be like, that was such a great PE chat tonight, like, thanks so much for hosting it. And I would be like, why didn't you join in? And I was like, oh, you know, like, I don't really have anything to add to the conversation. That's so not true. Like, just jump in there. Like, it's an open conversation for a reason. Like, we want everybody to bring in, because you never know. You never know what, like, one little insight you may have what kind of like chain reaction that's going to create and what that's going to lead to down the road. So just join in.
Exactly. And I guess while we're doing shout outs as well, I guess someone else that need to give a shout out to is Mel Hamada. Mm-hmm. And she has a couple of apps now that she's released, actually. So she has Mobile Attendance, which is an attendance one, and she's just released a couple of weeks ago PE Activities.
Yeah, I checked it out. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. And what I like about it as well is it similar to Nick's ones, like TGFU and stuff. Like you can submit games to her. So there's a space on there for you to actually submit a game that she will add to the app. So it's sort of like a crowdsourcing platform in a sense where, you know, there's the list of games and you can add to the games, send her. I know if I spoke with her a couple of weeks ago actually, and she was really, really keen for people to start sending her stuff and adding games to the database.
And the app's free, by the way, right?
Yeah, it is free. I think there's sections in there where like you can buy extra packages and stuff like that. But again, they're like, it's 99 cents, I think, for a pack. Oh, here it is. I'm just looking at it now. So she has there's a lot of free games on there, but then she has some packages. So there's like a ball games package, a mixed package, and then, you can unlock all of them for $2.99. So it's not, you're not breaking the bank if you want to have like the full version of the app.
All right. But, that's great. Like I've checked it out and Mel, she's going to be featured on the How I Teach series, in an upcoming week here. I've got her post all ready to go.
Yeah.
So, I said, just another great teacher who's out there sharing stuff and putting her ideas out there.
Exactly. I know she's moving school as well, next year. So, and she's going from a bigger department into a smaller department where there's only maybe one or two people. So she's, I know she's definitely looking for some people to connect with to, help her ease that transition through, because I know where she's going doesn't have a lot of facilities as well. So yeah, I think she's pretty keen to speak to anyone out there who's either working on their own, in a school that doesn't have a lot of facilities and ways that she can make sure she's still doing meaningful stuff.
Cool. Hey, speaking about apps, there's a few apps I actually wanted to mention this week. I've been toying around with a few things. iPhone apps. Okay, so there's this one app. It's not really related to Phys Ed. I'm going to say that right now. But it's really cool. It's called ThingList.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you have like a list of things? Like often like people like I'll keep a list of like movies I should watch or books I have to read, and things like that. Like I just keep them on random lists in Evernote usually.
Yeah.
But this app, it's so simple. It gives you like a category of thing to enter your thing into. So let's say books, I'll tap on books and then I just type in the title and then it creates like a list. But then you can sort your list based on those categories. So let's say like today I was at Chapters here, which is a bookstore.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should buy a book. Like I just finished my book. So I just tapped on books and I saw that there was a book that, I saw all the books that I told myself I wanted to read. So I just picked up one of those from the list. So it's just a cool little thing. But like, there's also like one of the categories, like ideas and stuff. So often like I'll be on Twitter and I'll see people tweeting about ideas that they're doing or activities they're doing in phys ed. You know, like Adam just said, he's doing windsurfing, which, sadly, I won't be able to pull off windsurfing at my school, given the fact that we're not close to a lake or an ocean. Just seeing like those ideas, like, yeah, that's something maybe I want to include in my curriculum next year. So I'm just saving it under that idea list.
Yeah.
So, no, it's just a cool little app.
Yeah, nice one. Definitely. What else are you playing around with?
Well, the other one too, so you might have seen Doug Letty tweeted out an article about how dodgeball should never ever be part of phys ed and how team sports and phys ed curricula are doing more harm than good.
Yeah, I did say that.
I'm forgetting the name of the author right now. It's Jessica
Hang on, I've Olin got it open. Or something like that. I've got it open here. Jessica Olin.
So there you go. So you know, I see this and like I'm like, okay, like I'll give it a read. And we could have had like a gigantic Twitter conversation, which actually did wind up happening. But I took it to Branch and I find like a lot of teachers, I got a few messages being like, hey, what's this Branch business? And I actually blogged about Branch a while ago. So Branch is a service online that allows you to start conversations, and the idea is that you're kind of creating a conversation like if you were having a conversation around a table with people. So you put up like a topic and then you put like a few points to start the conversation off, and then everybody gets to chime in and kind of talk about, share their ideas, and then you can kind of branch off from what people are saying and start a whole new conversation based on someone's comment.
Yeah.
I think Branch is amazing, and I honestly like I know some people they're kind of sketchy on signing into to new services, but I think Branch is going to be an amazing tool once we start using it on a more regular basis within the community, because I think it's a great tool to take the kind of conversations that we're having in PE chat that might get lost amongst all the tweets and kind of put them somewhere else where they can really be hosted, and then we can expand on that conversation in a more kind of like linear fashion, you know, instead of it just being like a collection of tweets.
Yeah. And I think the issue with having a conversation on Twitter sometimes is the 140 character limit. Yeah. And you want to say something, and then it's sort of like the true meaning of what you want to say gets lost in you having to like cut down and make it fit into one tweet. So I think the great thing about Branch is like you've got, like there's still, I think it was, is it maybe 500 characters or something like
that? Yeah, I think that's it.
Per sort of like tweet or whatever you want to, whatever they call it on Branch. But yeah, it's just a better way of making sure that you can express yourself exactly in the way that you want, but still not feel like it has to be this huge, long blog post or article. It's just, I think, a way of extending conversations.
Yeah, and you know, like Branch came out of like this... I guess you can call them an incubator, but Obvious Corp, which was actually some of the founders of Twitter who set out to kind of like fund these startups that were going to change the world and enhance the world. So Branch was one of the companies that came out of that. Another one actually is Medium. And I know that you just wrote a post on Medium. So maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I did. I saw that you had posted on Medium a couple of weeks back, and I just, like, I read it. It was a great post, by the way. But also just I liked the platform. It just seemed like a really nice way to read something. And I thought, I want to try this. So I signed in thinking, you know, here we go. I can write. But they're still in their beta testing stage. And so not everyone has access to be able to write yet. So all I did was I sent them a tweet and said, look, I have some stuff that I'd like to write about. And can I have access? And within, you know, 24 hours, they said, yeah, sure, here it is. And so I wrote a post on my last month. I spoke about it in the last podcast. Was I was just starting a sugar-free diet.
Yeah, that's right.
So I quit sugar. So now I am, with the help of Lyft, which I know is an app that you use a lot.
Yeah, I love Lyft, which came out of Obvious Corp too. So
yeah,
they're doing good things.
So I've been using that as a way of tracking my habits. And so right now I am 34 days sugar free.
Way to go.
Yeah. So it's been good. It's been a good journey. It's been a bit up and down. And so I wrote the blog post on Medium about my first 30 days, of going sugar free. And to be honest, at the start, I thought it would be harder than it was. And it was actually not that hard. It was great, and I felt awesome. I've never felt as good as I did in those first sort of 2 or 3 weeks. My body just felt, I don't know, I try to explain this to a few people. My body felt like lighter, not in a weight sense, but I just felt not as weighed down and heavy and cloudy, and I just felt more energized, which was really strange. And I think it was also that, you know, I was cooking these new meals that I hadn't thought of before, because I was using the book and also finding stuff online, and these really creative meals that are actually really easy to make. And so it was exciting in that sense. Like I was challenging myself to do these new and different meals. The only difficult thing, which I blogged about in the Medium that you can read, is finding like snacks. And when you're going out to eat, because it's not as easy just to grab a snack. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to do something like this, and you've ever been to the supermarket or been somewhere and looked on the label on the side of the packaging to see how much sugar's included in things. just things that you never would assume there is sugar in have a huge amount of sugar in them, and I don't know why they do. It's been really eye-opening to see the amount of sugar that some things have added to them when there's no need whatsoever for that to happen.
It's funny you say that. Like, that's one thing with my Upband. So the Upband comes with an app that allows you to input, like, your meals and everything. And it makes it really easy, too. Like, if anything has a barcode, all you have to do is scan the barcode and it automatically adds the nutritional information.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, when you start talking about the sugar, I was thinking, I don't eat that many sweets. And then I started noticing, like, I'm eating a lot of sugar in a day. Like, yeah. There's a lot, like, you don't even notice that you're doing it. So, man, I don't know how you're pulling it off, because I think I'd have a really hard time with
it. Yeah, it is. To be honest, like, so now I think this is about week 5, and I'm starting to get cravings. I haven't really had cravings until now, and it's getting a little bit more difficult. But it's interesting because the 8-week program in the book, you know, it's around this time that she starts introducing like natural alternatives to sugar. So there's this natural alternative called stevia, which comes from a plant. So it's like an artificial sweetener. Like, I don't know whether you have in Canada, like Equal.
Yeah,
or something like that. Yeah, so it's like Equal, but it's a natural alternative. So it comes from a plant leaf, and so you can start adding those natural sweeteners and sugars into different things. So it's probably at the time where my body is now has sort of detoxed from that, but now it's asking for sugar and stuff, and it might also be to do with the fact that I'm really busy and I'm flat out and my body actually needs more energy, but. Yeah, no, it's been good, and I'm going to continue. Like, I've changed the habits. I don't need sugar. I don't need to be having chocolate and cupcakes and all the things that I was having before. And like I posted about in Medium, it hasn't really changed my lifestyle that much. Like, I can still go out to the bar and have a couple of beers and a burger, and you know, like, yes. There may be a little bit of sugar in the way that beer is made, or like, I'm not going to know 100% that everything that I eat at a restaurant doesn't have sugar added to it, but I feel better in the knowledge that the things that I do have control over, I'm not having as much sugar in my day-to-day life.
That's great, man. It's like you say, like, I always say, like, I like too that you're saying that, like, you're feeling good about it, because often I hear people like doing like these like fad diets and like all kinds of crazy stuff, and they're just miserable.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it being worthwhile, you know? But if you're saying like you're actually feeling good through this, like that's like, I find that's more important than the actual like cutting out sugar, you know? Like, the important thing is that you're feeling good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing. Like, I've never been a fan of these diets and fad diets and stuff like that. Like, I was like, and I wrote about this in the Medium, is, you know, I was always of the opinion that you should just have a balance. Like, if you're going to eat
absolutely
junk food and stuff, then you need to exercise to balance that out. So it was always that input output thing. And anytime I saw people doing fad diets or doing this diet or that diet, I was sort of like, well, like, I can see the benefit behind what you're trying to do, but at the end of the day, like, it's not, you know, there's always something that makes that, like, it's good for this, but it's not good for other areas. So, it might make you lose weight, but it's not actually good for your body in this other way. Whereas this sugar thing, like, I just think, like, a lot of the stuff I've been reading about is, you know, our bodies, like, it sort of goes a little bit hand in hand. It's not exactly the same, but, like, this paleo diet that's really popular at the moment. So going back to, like,
my brother was talking about that, actually.
Yeah, going back to, like, caveman eating and stuff. And, like, it sort of makes sense. Like, you know, so for so long through the history of humanity, you know, sugar's not something that really naturally was in foods. It's only been in the last few hundred years that we've started adding so much sugar to our food. So if you're eating, like, meat, vegetables, stuff that's natural, like, you're going to feel better. And I think that's a lot of what's happening with why I'm feeling better at the moment, is like, I'm eating more natural foods than I was in the past. Like, I'm not eating stuff that's out of a package or out of a box that's had sugar added to it to make it stay longer or make it preserve, I guess. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think that's why I feel good about it. It just feels natural. It feels like I don't need to have sugar in my life. It's not something that's going to make me, like, we don't need it. our bodies don't need a lot of sugar, so we don't. So that's why I feel good about it. It's not an effort for me not to have it.
Yeah, it's like I liked also how the way you said that, you know, like these recipes and everything, they're kind of forcing you to try something new.
Yeah,
and like try new things. And speaking about all this wellness and like trying new stuff and everything, like I'm doing like a bit of a wellness month at my school. And yep. I'm trying to get the kids to try new stuff and everything, like different ways of like just focusing on different parts of their health instead of them just always focusing on like, okay, yeah, like I have to do sports. Mm-hmm. So this week we did a yoga challenge, mm-hmm. and it was great because all I did is I used the Yoga Studio app that I got for the iPad,
yeah,
which is a great app, by the way. If you want to try out, like start doing yoga, like I love this app. I live with like Wells Alexandra, so like Alex Wells is my brother's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we're two phys ed teachers here living together, and she introduced me to the app, and we were doing it. And I was like, man, this is awesome! I have to show my kids. So like the first day, like I get like five kids show up, and I told them there's gonna be a yoga challenge. So every week is a different challenge, and so they show up, and I was like, okay, we're doing yoga today. It's a beginner class on balance, and the kids were blown away by how difficult it actually was. Like they thought they were going to be going in, they were going to be like umming and like it was just going to be really easy, but they weren't expecting it to actually be challenging. So then the second day I had about 8 kids, and the first day, I'm not going to lie, the first day was all girls. And then the second day I had some boys show up, and the boys were kind of fooling around at first, but by the end of it, that day the theme was strength, and they were taking it very seriously because they were having a hard time with it. I think they kind of felt like a little embarrassed by the fact that they weren't able to do yoga.
Yeah.
And then on the third day, because that's how I'm only there 3 days a week at that school, on the third day it was flexibility, but like I actually kids in the morning come and see me, he's like, Mr. Joey, are we doing yoga at lunch today? Like I'm so excited for it. Like we got the app at home and it was doing it with my mom, and they were getting so into it. So I was really pumped about that. I was really happy they got into yoga. Yeah. And next week I've talked about health month, not health month, sorry, about a Headspace.
Yeah.
Health month is another app, but it's completely different. But Headspace, the meditation app. So we're doing a meditation challenge next week where the kids come in and for over recess, so like for 10 minutes, we're doing a little guided meditation session in the gym.
Yeah, nice.
So it's nice to try and get the kids to try new things, you know, like just and start getting to think about the different aspects of their own health and their own wellness.
Yeah, it's interesting actually because I had pretty much the same experience as you just last week So we had to come back to school for one of the swimming lessons because there was a storm. So we can't swim when there's lightning, obviously. So we came back to school and it was absolutely bucketing down outside. So we had to be inside in our little hall. And the kids said, oh, can we do, they love doing the Just Dance stuff and the sort of like the Wii stuff. So I said, can we do that? And I said, yeah, we can, but I also want to try something a little bit different today. And so we did similar, like YogaFi, which is another app, which is by EA.
Okay.
So I don't know whether if you've seen that one or not.
No, I haven't had a chance to see it.
No, but it just sounds very similar. Like, and I've actually done it at home a few times, just like airplaying it up onto our TV with the Apple TV. And that's really good as well. Like you can choose a 15-minute one or a 30-minute one or whatever, and it just takes you through a flow. So it's like a beginner's one, strength, balance, flexibility and stuff. And so I did it with the kids and the exact same thing. Like the boys were just like, man, that was hard. Like we thought it would be easy. We thought it wasn't going to be difficult and stuff. And they actually really enjoyed it. And they were talking about it and they're saying, can we do it again? So yeah, it's great. It's nice to give kids these different experiences that maybe they don't have because to break their stereotype mentality of what yoga is.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of them, yeah, just, and I've seen it. We said we're going to do yoga and they all start sitting down and going, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Like so, cross legs, like, yeah. Like fingers to thumbs there and just sitting down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So no, it's cool. It's good. It's nice to do those different things. And it is like this wellness stuff, like you said, like it's great. And this is something like that, I sort of have a blog post that I haven't quite finished yet about being a role model for kids. Like the, as a phys ed teacher, like we should be a role model for kids in the way that we live our lives and be healthy and our wellness and stuff. And so, as part of like this no sugar thing, like actually there's been probably three or four teachers at the school who have become really interested in it, and even kids now. Like I spoke to a kid the other day who offered me a chocolate, and I said, no, sorry, I can't have it because I'm not eating sugar. And she said, really? Like, my friend doesn't eat sugar either. And then it was another girl in the class, and she has some issues with ADHD. And so she's on a sugar-free diet, and she says, like, yeah, it's great. Like, and she knew everything. She knew how much sugar was in every single thing. She'd been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. And she said, like, when I had sugar, I couldn't concentrate. I would just go crazy in class. And now I feel so much better. So it's nice to connect with other people and to be like, at first, like maybe I was a little bit not ashamed of doing it, but it was like a little bit embarrassing, like to some people.
I know what you mean.
Whereas now it's like, it's great. Like I have no issues whatsoever with saying to people like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And it's great. And I feel awesome. So it's, yeah, I'm going to have a blog post coming out hopefully in the next week about just not only that, but just being a phys ed role model and showing the kids a positive way of living their life.
It's, you know, like you often think it goes without saying that we're supposed to be role models for these kids that we teach. And often I find there's a lot of teachers who forget that. And you forget about the impact that you have on these kids too, and like the lasting impact you have. You know, one of my favorite experiences teaching is when I was 16, I worked at the day camps in my hometown. So Chambly here in Quebec.
Yeah.
And I remember, so my camp name was Zeus. So we all had camp names and everything.
Yeah.
And I taught kids that were like 6 years old, 6 to 8 years old. And whatever, like I was 16 then. So then when I was in university, I was doing my final field experience at McGill. I was teaching at my old high school. So I'm teaching secondary one, which is grade 7. And I get into the class to teach. And I was like, okay, everybody. And then a kid interrupts me. And she's like, Zeus? So here's this kid that I taught when she was like 6 at day camp, and now she's 13 in her first year of high school. So, you know, but like then they were like, oh, we totally remember you. Like, and they were sharing all kinds of stories from camp that like I couldn't even remember. Yeah. We have such an impact on these kids, and often we forget that. And it's such a powerful and like beautiful position to be in, you know, like to be able to have like to influence kids at that point and to be that type of person for those people. And often these kids, like a lot of the kids we teach, we forget, like I'm lucky, like I grew up with great role models as parents, but a lot of kids aren't as lucky as I was. So to be able to have, be like that positive influence in someone's life is just an amazing thing. It's like I said, often I find like some people, like they forget that. And yeah. I think it's always important to remember that when you're teaching, because you can have such an influence on someone's life.
Especially as a phys ed teacher, like you ask 90% of the kids in the school who's your favorite teacher, and a lot of them will say the phys ed teacher because we do fun stuff. And like it was actually like similar to what you're saying. It was really nice this week. I was summoned and requested to come to one of the assemblies. So we have like a junior school assembly and a senior school assembly. And like, sometimes I can't make it to one of them because I'm teaching one class or I have a meeting on and stuff, but I was summoned to one this week, and I'm thinking like, that's a little strange. Like why have I been summoned to come to this assembly? And the kids gave me an award this week, one of our IB, learner profile traits. So we have these learner profiles, things that the kids aspire to be. So it might be knowledgeable, caring, risk taker, stuff like that. So they gave me a caring award for being a great teacher who's always polite, funny, treats people fairly, and makes fun things for us to do. Thanks for all your efforts. That was from the kids, and it was great. It was so nice for them to like, they asked their teacher basically to, could they do this? So it was nice. It was nice to get that recognition from the kids and to see that the things, like, as much as sometimes I have to be the grumpy Mr. Nathan and be angry at them sometimes, that they do appreciate and respect the things that we do for them.
Yeah, they, and as much as they can find it hard when it's happening, I think that afterwards they realize that if we're being like that, it's for a reason. And yeah. It's to help them. It's not just to be like angry at them and putting them down.
No, exactly. And that's what I liked like about this was that, you know, they recognize that I treat people fairly. And that as a PE teacher, that's always the thing. Like that's one of our biggest issues is fair play. And you know, you're all, especially in elementary school, you're always going to get kids who say it's not fair or this is not fair or whatever. But, you know, if you can make sure that you're consistent in the way that you treat all the kids and that you have really firm sort of like boundaries of what is fair and what's not fair. And, you know, if one kid does something and then that's the consequence and the other kid does the same thing, then you have the same consequence and you're not sort of like making it up on the go. So it's really important to have that sort of like those guidelines for how you're going to run your class. And like it's what you mentioned earlier with what you're doing with the Google Forms for the behavior management stuff. Like I'm sure the kids know now that, you know, if they screw up, then that's what they need to go and do, and they do it, and then they're back.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Oh. It's nice. And just
one last thing about being a role model too, and I because I'm just curious, and I'd really like to hear back from teachers on this, because this is my personal philosophy, but I always try to let my kids know too that I'm not perfect.
No,
like exactly. If I have flaws, like I always try to let my students know that. You know, yes, like I'm a flaw, like I have flaws that I try to improve on, but that it's normal to have some flaws and it's totally okay not to be perfect. Because I find it's really important to let our kids know that we're not perfect people and that I don't expect my kids to be perfect either. You know, like I don't expect my students to be perfect little human beings all the time. Do I wish they were perfect little human beings all the time? Yeah, there's definitely times that I wish they're being a little bit more perfect than they're being on that particular day. But, you know, I think that's an important thing too to teach our kids.
No, anyway,
sorry, that was just
no, 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 no. It's a really important point, and I'm glad you made it. And like it can be as something as simple as, even if you're demonstrating a new sport or you're introducing a new sport to your kids, and you're not very good at it, but you know that there's a kid in your class who is good at it. Like use them as the teacher. Don't feel like you have to be the one who's showing them how to do things if you're not skilled at it. And sometimes the kids really respond to that. They're like, they don't want to see Mr. Joey like shooting air balls if he's not that good at basketball. Like it's just, you know, having respect for your kids and creating that community feeling and creating that sort of like shared respect amongst students, teacher, parents, everyone within that community.
It does wonders too when it comes to actually building rapport with your students. So, which I think is key to actually educating your students. So
yeah, exactly. And I know we spoke about it briefly before, and I want to go back to it a little bit about this that article that was written about team sports and dodgeball being part of the curriculum and stuff. And it's something that really, like, I've been thinking a lot about over the last few days since I read it, and I've read other articles, and it's always been something that I think is in the forefront of my mind and the forefront of a lot of people's minds about the public perception of PE. And I was talking to someone about it the other day and about admins in a lot of schools at the moment and the way their attitude towards PE programs and stuff. And it's, you know, it is like a lot of people in the last generation had bad experiences in PE. And that's led to them feeling alienated by it. And it's led to people having views and articles like the one that was written. And so I think like now has never been a better time. There's never been such a large number of people like us and like the people out there on Twitter and in the phys ed community that have the ability and the chance to change that public perception of what PE is and what it can be. And I really hope that the next generation, like the kids that are growing up now in the classrooms and in the gymnasiums and on the fields of people like yourself and like, you know, Mr. Robbo and Andy Vasili and all these fantastic people are going to be healthier, active, happier people who have a positive view of themselves and of physical education as a subject.
Yeah. You know, you're saying like how you don't think there's never been more great PE teachers than there are now. And like, we're, I'm amazed at how many amazing teachers I'm getting to meet because of the way that the world is these days. I'm not sure if it's because there's more now or if it's just because that right now it's so much easier for people to get access to exposure, right? So, you know, like, yeah, it's really easy for people who are doing a good job to, like, kind of share the good work they're doing through a variety of online tools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really powerful that we have access to that. But we also have to realize that, you know, like, now, so here we are, like I wrote a branch on, like, Jessica Olien's, her article. And I know, so that Andy wrote a blog post on it. But, you know, like now we also have an opportunity. Okay, like, now we have, like, the world's attention. Like, now people can actually pay attention, like, see what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, we have this exposure. Okay, great. Let's make sure we're doing great things with it.
Yeah.
And honestly, so far, I think so good. Like, I think there's a lot of really good going on.
Yeah.
So, no, it's exciting, like, times.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're right. Like, maybe it's not that there is more people now. Like, there's probably always been this number of people doing it. And it's right. Like, it's just the way that the world is now. But I think it's what it is doing. It's just making people more accountable. For what's happening, because I guarantee you, like, for every fantastic PE teacher out there, there's another one who is still stuck in the old way of doing things. Like, I read another article that somebody posted the other day about a similar sort of thing, and it gave an example of a phys ed class. You know, kids come in, sit down in alphabetical order, do the register. If you don't have your clothes and you do push-ups, go and do this. Like, it was just like an example of a really horrible, horrible lesson. And then the question was, who's had this experience? And, you know, a lot of people have had that experience with PE. Yeah. And so, yeah, it is, like, I think the good thing at the moment is that people are able to see, like, and it goes back to this role model thing. You know, people are seeing positive examples of what it can be. And it's pushing them to improve themselves, and even back further to what we spoke about earlier is, like, how can we make sure that those positive examples that are being set right now by all these fantastic people are reaching those people who are outside of the community, and how can we expand even further to make sure that people outside of that community are also being held as accountable as people inside of it.
No, exactly, man. That's well said.
Yeah, and, like, it's something that I've been thinking a lot about, and actually, like, something else I wanted to mention, like, next Saturday I've been given the amazing opportunity to speak at a TEDx here in Singapore. It'll be the first TEDx at an international school here in Singapore. And I was really, so the topic, or sort of the guide topic, was little things matter, and how little things lead to bigger things. And positive change. And so I was racking my brain of, you know, like, I've got so many ideas of things I could speak about, but how was I going to make it fit within that topic? And I think it was this article by Jessica Olien that came out that really is, like, it's really sparked me. And I think that's sort of what I'm going to talk about, and what we've just been talking about now, is how the little things that we do now as physical educators, and the little changes that are being made can make our subject better. And so I think, like, the title was going to be like Jim is dead, the new PE. Like,
wow.
Like, I don't want it to be Jim anymore. Like, there's a reason why it's called physical education. Like, there is so much sound educational data behind what we're doing. Like, so yeah, that's happening next Saturday. So I'm really excited about that. And hopefully once it's done, I'll be able to get it. Someone will be able to record it, and we'll be able to get it online and be able to share with people.
That'd be amazing. I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, no, it's such an amazing opportunity. Like, I'm really lucky to have been the guy who's organizing it. I know. And he asked me, he said, I know you're doing some great stuff. Would you like to come and speak at it? And it's a youth run one. So it's actually being run by the students of the school, Chatsworth International School. And so it's aimed at youth. So it's a good chance to speak to youth and to sort of, like, share with them ideas and see whether that's something that they see, and whether they're still having bad experiences, or whether they are starting to feel that change. So yeah, it was interesting because I was looking around yesterday for see if there was any other TED Talks on physical education and stuff like that. And there doesn't seem to be a lot. There's a couple on physical activity and brain and stuff like that, but nothing like hopefully what I'm going to speak about. So it's a good opportunity for me to it's not about me. It's about like sharing what everybody out there is doing. And you know, I'll definitely be referencing people like you and people like Andy and other people who are doing fantastic stuff out there and saying, you know, like, this is the new PE. This is the new way of doing things, and this is the way that we're enabling the world to be a better place.
But you know what, Nathan? I'm going to say it out loud here. You totally deserve that opportunity, and I'm really proud to have someone like you representing the profession at that type of event. So, way to go, man! Like that's amazing that you got asked to do that, and I'm sure you're going to crush it. I'm just so excited to get to see it.
Yeah, thanks, man. That means a lot.
No worries. Oh, that's great. So yeah, we've been talking for a while here.
Talking for a while. We got lots. Like I didn't think I had that much to talk about, but obviously I do.
It just kind of happens. I don't know how it happens. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, we just.
Keep hey, going by the way, one thing I wanted to say too, I have completely made the switch to Chrome. Yeah. I'm using Chrome everywhere now.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you told me I should try it out, and I don't know how I did anything without Chrome before. Now I'm using all kinds of extensions, and I'm just loving it.
Yeah, actually it's interesting because another someone to give a shout out to, and like we spoke about him earlier, Mr. Robbo, Jared, like he just completed the Google Teacher Academy in Sydney this week, and he was there with the iTeacher from my school at Colin Galley, who we've spoken about before with his stuff with Minecraft. So they were in Sydney this week doing that, and I think, you know, there's only I think 50 something people chosen from all around the world to go to this thing and to work with Google. So congratulations to him. And I think as part of one of his tasks at that, he had to Google hang out with somebody, and so he called me, and I had a quick chat with him about stuff he was doing there. And something that's come out of that, which like I know we've talked a lot about Google today, is, and I just like their attitude to things is, you know, open, everything's open in Google. Like it's free, it's openly accessible, and it's not a case of like don't use this or don't use another company's product because we're better. It's like if our product can help you, then that's what we want for you to do. Yeah. Like we want you to use it. And I've seen, like, it's really weird because I've seen Microsoft as well at the moment. Like they're putting out all these ads and stuff that are like almost ragging on Google, and don't use Google Docs because it's bad, and don't do this and don't do that. And sort of like their whole marketing strategy at the moment seems to be against other companies, which is really weird. But
which it is weird. You should be focusing on your strengths and not focusing on other people's weaknesses.
So I know I've sort of talked around it a little bit, but coming back to Chrome, so I know that like Colin used Chromebook at the thing, and he was saying like it's really interesting that, you know, this whole Chromebook idea is that Google believes that you should be able to do everything you need to do on a browser. So there's no need to have all these different like apps in different, like on your phone or on your desktop or different software packages, that you should be able to do it all through Chrome. And it's really interesting that, you know, every week it seems like more and more Chrome extensions are coming out which enable you to do that. So it's an exciting time. I know Jared's released a couple of Chrome extensions. He's got his QR code one. And I think he has a PE Geek extension and stuff now. And I think he posted somewhere about how to create your own extension to a web page for Chrome and stuff. So yeah, it's exciting times. I love Chrome. It's great.
No, it's really good. Google's such an amazing company too. I wish, you know what, I would love to see Google open like schools.
Yeah.
Just because of like the philosophy they have within their company, like I think like what they could, if they could carry that over to education, I know they're doing it through like Google Apps and everything, but like opening up an actual institution would just be amazing.
Yeah, but and they're really big day, on they're really big day. On that 20% time and stuff as well, and that's something that Jared and Colin said when they were there. They saw people just, you know, like they've got all these cool little like hangout zones with couches and hammocks and little pods here and there and stuff. It's like, you know, they trust people there to do the work. And if, you know, you want to spend all day playing foosball, that's fine as long as you get your work done.
Yeah, I'm actually reading a super interesting book right now on Motivation, and they reference Google a few times. It's Drive by Dan Pink.
Yep.
He's got a TED Talk actually that's quite popular, but really interesting stuff. And it's just it's crazy seeing how like what we usually think would motivate people, seeing that it actually doesn't motivate people that well.
Yeah.
And that actually going trying to get more like intrinsic motivation of people is what really brings out the best in people. So it's a really good book, honestly. Like I started reading it and like the first few chapters are just like, wow, like this is amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, that carries over into education as well. And it's interesting to see the way that people are using that now. And, you know, thinking back 10 years to the way that the people thought was the best way to motivate kids, it's different now. And, you know, like it is, I see a lot of people talking about genius hour and 20% time in schools and how we can encourage kids to take on and do things that they're interested in and not feel like that you're so confined by a curriculum or teaching to a test.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So, yeah, exciting times.
Absolutely. All right, we've been talking for a while here.
Yeah, too long.
I think if we have any listeners left,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
So. But Nathan, it's always great getting to catch up with you.
You too.
Hopefully, I know you've been super busy. I know I'm really busy too, but hopefully we'll be able to do this on a more regular basis.
Yep.
To anybody who's listening right now, if you haven't fallen asleep by now, I just want to say thank you so much. It's great getting to chat with all of you afterwards when you get to listen to this, and we really appreciate it. And we, like we said, when Nathan and I started this off, we said that we want to do it pretty much for ourselves. You know, we want to say, okay, let's just have these conversations and see if anybody wants to join in. And it's been great getting people to share that they're listening, getting people to join in and discuss what we were discussing here. So thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll echo that. Like it's so great when I hear people say like, you know, when's the next podcast coming out? Or I love listening to it. Or like, I know, like, I can't remember whether it was Amanda, the firecracker, or whether it was Joe, Love Fired. I can't remember. One of them was saying like, you know, I download, I think Amanda listens to it on the treadmill, so maybe it was Joe, saying like, I download it and I play it in my car when I'm driving somewhere. And, you know, like it's really hard for me not to listen to it until I get in the car, because I know that I'm going to be in the car for an hour and that's going to be the perfect time to listen to it. And so it's really nice just to hear these stories of different people and how they listen to it and how they take the ideas and use them in their own gym, and just also give us feedback of stuff that they want to hear us talk about or they want to know about. So yeah, exactly. Thank you so much to everyone out there who listens. I guess it's the same for you. Like it doesn't feel like, I love doing this with you and I love just chatting with you. And it's a great way just to share ideas, and it doesn't feel like a job, or it doesn't feel like a hassle at all. Like I look forward to the next time we get to do it, and then look forward to hearing people's views and opinions on the things that we've said.
Absolutely.
All right, nice. All right. One, man. We better go.
Yeah. So you have a great day. It's 10:20 a.m. there?
10:20 on a Sunday. I've got some reports to finish off, and then my motivation, it's a beautiful day outside, so I'm going to try and get them done so I can get out and enjoy the sunshine.
All right, sounds good, man. Well, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, mate. Nice one.
See you, Nathan.
Bye.